regardless of the outcome. Boost of positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meals. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers, eating fresh rugs. Call me privately.
Oh yeah, welcome to the bonus episode of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes even the paranormal. Want to thank everybody that's in here live. If you are here, please go ahead, hit that thumbs up, tell everybody that we're live, and also give YouTube time to go ahead and start censoring us. Look, y'all, this is a really good one. This one's been scheduled for a while, and you've heard me talk about community quite a bit. And that's one of the biggest reasons I am so fired up about every single time there's a gathering that's worth gathering at. But before we get into it, y'all want to remember the sponsors of the show. Remember, Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, handle all your preparedness needs out there. Everything you can't source, go check them out. Remember, their seeds, especially this time of year, you might want to consider. They are balling, y'all. They say 85% germination rate, but we got every bit of 100. So don't forget to check them out. And if you would also like to check us out on another platform where you can double and triple up the speed, you can do it on the Fountain app. So if you want to drop some SATs on a PIMP, do it over there on the Fountain app. In other words, tip a pimp, or as my little buddy says,
tip a pimp.
Bam! That's what I'm talking about. Also, Redemption Shield, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Every single time you hear me in this studio, except for the present moment, my feet are usually grounding on a grounding mat. I'm taking all those electrons, and they're hitting the ground, and I do this as often as possible. They are an awesome sponsor of the show, so don't forget to check them out. And then finally, EMP Shield. We got a representative of one of that place here today, but that's not really what we're going to be talking about. EMP Shield, y'all. Look, I'm a journeyman electrician, IBEW trained, 25 years experience, and I've installed a lot of things that are similar to this. There ain't even a close second. In fact, EMP Shield didn't reach out to me. I reached out to them because their stuff is balling. And if anything should get blown up downstream of that at your house, find me another. Anybody even close is going to cover you for 25 G's if it Kentucky fries anything downstream. So, yeah, be sure to check out EMP Shield. All right, without further ado, y'all, once again, if you're live here, please go ahead, hit that thumbs up. Tell everybody we're live. And with that said, we are going to bring on my guests. And bam, right off the bat, Bobby and Patrick. And then my man, my new friend in the house, his name is Kyle. Y'all, you're going to be glad you met these guys. Bobby, take it away.
What is going on, Billy? Thanks for having us. Thanks to everybody in the audience. We're very excited to talk about the festival that's coming up in a week. So I am Bobby Spaggs. This is Patrick Henry. And we have Kyle from Nowhere Homesteady, who's our man in the chair. And we put on what we consider to be the best community-based preparedness and homesteading festival in the Midwest.
It's the best.
It is the best. So, Patrick, you were with it before I was, so why don't you tell people about what it is?
Yeah, so like Spags alluded to, man, it is one of the most wholesome gatherings. I think you could put yourself, your family, your preparedness group, your mutual assistance group, your church group, your men's retreat, whatever it is that you could bring out to attend, because this is where you'll find, like seriously, we're like the Statue of Liberty of preparedness events in the Midwest. Give us your tired, give us your hungry, give us your, I mean, we're, everything is there. We have like
we do.
It's like a, we've turned them into to Pimpcast, you know, permaculture fans too.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, what we do is we spread that message of preparedness.
Oops, got myself muted over here. Yeah, hey, let's just give a little backstory, y'all. So you know my nature of the relationship that I have with these guys. Bobby and I have been friends for years, kind of lost contact when I moved out of Kansas and then, you know, headed to another places. And here we are building permaculture farms all along the way. And, you know, back when I was, I mean, I'm talking years ago, a couple of decades ago, where I was kind of getting my feet wet in this thing. And you get a lot of bad information. You get a lot of weird information. You get a lot of information from people that are very myopic and see only one part of the spectrum. And so when I came across Bobby at another gathering, it was like, yeah, man, this is a guy I need to know a little bit better. And I'll tell you what, folks, when I got specific questions about certain things, especially things that I know that I'm not, you know, permaculture is my thing, preparedness is my thing, but you can't possibly know all of it. So it's really, really great to have some friends out there that you can reach out to in those areas where, like specifically Bobby, from the very beginning, one of the deepest questions I asked you right off was community-based, because at that time I had zero community, nobody I could even talk to about all this stuff. And you gave me pretty much in a, in really just a couple of minutes, the quick do's and don'ts when you do this sort of thing. So folks, I want to give you that background of at least the nature of the relationship that I have with Bobby from way back. And y'all, when I brought him onto the show before, it's for a reason, because I've tried to interact and, you know, communicate with the best, and he's one of the best out there. So briefly, before we get into the nuts and bolts of it, how did all of you guys find yourself to this space? Because I think that's going to be helpful for the record numbers. Just so you know, guys, Joel Salatin's latest book is called The Homesteading Tsunami, which you could also call Preparedness Tsunami, because they kind of interlay. There is no distinction between the two. So why don't you tell everybody, let's start with Bobby and Patrick, and then let's go into Kyle. What brought you to this space, and what made you feel as if you had to do this in the first place?
For me, it was growing up in an Air Force home during the Cold War. I lived in Germany in the early 80s when all of the Red Brigade bombings and all of the weird stuff was happening in Germany and Italy and those sorts of places. And so just growing up in that type of a environment, you're living in a foreign country in another continent during that time. Everybody always had to have some canned foods. Everyone had a transformer so they could use, you know, American electronics over there in Europe and all these other things. And so that was just kind of the background that, you know, I grew up with. And then growing up also in a very religious home, you know, the conversation always kind of devolved at times into issues of eschatology and the end of the world and this sort of thing. So just those influences growing up always made me realize you should probably have some kind of safety net built in the event that bad times come. Mm-hmm. Then that kind of evolved as I got older and I got into private security and eventually joined the Army and did a whole bunch of other things. You just see things across the world and you realize that the veneer of humanity that you find here in the West is absolutely paper thin, and it mm-hmm. takes nothing for it to be shredded. It takes one messed up, you know, guy getting, you know, taken out by a police officer for the whole country to burn for a year. Well, what are you going to do if that comes to a, you know, to a city near you? What are you going to do if that comes to a town near you? And so preparedness for me has never been the doomsday nonsense. It's never been the asteroid or Yellowstone or aliens or Godzilla. It's always been more of a practical, what are you going to do when a respiratory virus takes over the world and everybody buys toilet paper? Mm-hmm.
Dude, don't get much better than that.
Hey boy, that's mic drop right there, man. I need to take that and make sure I put it into a short, because I think you just summed up the most important parts of it. Patrick, what got you into this space?
Yeah, so it's a simple matter of life. I mean, if I had to really summarize it with just one word, Billy, it's providence. I mean, to be honest with you, at the end of the day, I'm a first generation American. I come from a mother who escaped a third world, you know, regime to come here and build a better life. The woman came here with a sixth grade education, graduated from Oklahoma State University with a master's degree in culinary arts. And she went on to not only live the American dream, but to instill that in me. And beyond that, survival was the name of the game for her. So beyond providence, it was a matter of desperation. So that's the second word. The other word I would replace providence with, because about 12 years ago, I moved to this area, KC Midwest area. I ran into Spags and Tag and some of these other cats, Kyle down the road a few years later, but we were desperate. I mean, we were scared. It was me and my wife, my young family. We didn't have a tribe. We didn't have a group. We didn't understand, you know, how to build that. And so naturally we sought out others, you know, that are in the same, had the same mission as us, right? We sought out those other lions. And eventually in doing so, putting myself out there, being the introvert that I am, I found, you know, extroverts like Spags, you know, and I found other introverts like myself. And collectively, we got together and formed Voltron in the Midwest Preparedness Damn. Project.
Yes, oh, did. Man. Hey, Kyle, they didn't set it up well for you, bro. That's going to be a tough act to follow. Yeah,
yes, it is. Yes, it is. So, I mean, for me, I guess it started with, like, Y2K. That's really where I first started to my eyes open to the world events and see what was possible. Working in technology, I had firsthand experience to a lot of things that were happening there. And then, you know, just natural progression over time. 9/11 happens, other things, and just general life stuff too, right? So it's like Patrick was saying, you get to a point where you set up your life for a little bit of surplus so that when hard times come, you've got a little bit to fall back on. And that, you know, that's generally how it kind of started for us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Awesome. Hey guys, if you're new coming into the chat, remember hit that thumbs up, let them know to start suppressing us. Do all that good stuff. Man, you guys really set it up great, because I can't imagine a person out there that can't in some way or another relate to your story and mine as well, folks. I guess, like, you know, I've never really talked about what brought me to this place. So I'll go ahead and do it right now, and then we'll continue as to what's going on with their festival. Because honestly, folks, if I could be there right now, if I could be there at this festival, believe me, I would, because I know these guys and I've been to previous festivals that Bobby's put on. In fact, he even let me MC a few of them. Mm-hmm. And there's not a single time you do not walk out of there edified, and it's become even better. So what brought me to this place was getting out of the Army. And I tell you what seriously got me there, and I think a lot of people can relate to this, is I was already into it, and then it wasn't until 2008 that I had to become serious about it. I couldn't find a job anywhere that wasn't in a developing country. And it got down to brass tacks where it was, are we going to lose our home? Are we going to lose everything? 2008 financial crisis for the young people out there that don't know. I was destitute. My family was, and we were struggling and taking out college loans because my wife was at the University of Kansas at the time. And I told myself and my family, if I ever get myself out of this, because poverty inspires no talent. It's hard to see your way out of it when you're in it. But I said, if I ever get out of this ever again, I will never, ever, ever find myself in this position where I'm wondering, are we going to be able to pay for food? Are we going to have a roof over our heads?
Amen.
So it wasn't just a matter of desperation. It was like, I'm going to set up my life to where the next time something like this happens, that I am so well insulated that I can be a service to others and not be a burden. So in a nutshell, that's kind of what brought me here. So let's take it back to, and for those of you in the chat, you know, if you can briefly, I'll put it up on screen. If you can briefly say what brought you to this area or what your concerns and fears are, because I hope to get to a Q&A with these guys here after a while, because we're dealing with serious experts here, y'all, not Johnny Come Lately, people that have been at this, not those YouTube channels that I've been critical of before that found out all of a sudden that when the YouTube algorithms favor fear and stuff like that, they went from homesteading to preparedness, and they, by and large, many of them know nothing about it. I'm dealing with consummate experts here, and you're going to be glad you tuned in, folks. So let's talk about why the need to gather. Let's go right back to Bobby and Patrick here. Why have you always felt the need, for as long as I've known you, to put these things on and create a place where people congregate either to learn or to commiserate? You can do all of the above there, but what made you be the one to organize all these things?
Honestly, I've always had a draw towards putting things on. I've always had a draw towards organization. I think that was something that the military absolutely instilled in me, was the ability to talk in front of large groups of people that I did not know. And like Patrick is famous for saying, we are all introverts in an extrovert's world. And most of us would rather never leave our homes, our homesteads, our families. I would rather just stay at home all day, work in the garden, handle my livestock, hang around my kids and grandkids and just be happy. But the fact is, we were created as a communal beast. We were created to be a communal creature. And, you know, it is not good that man should be alone. And so we have to find other people. And if you're going to seek out other people to spend your social capital and your time with, you need to seek out people who have the same goals and motivations and moral fabric that you have. And the preparedness and homesteading arena is where you're going to find a large conglomerate of those kinds of folks who get together for the same reasons. Even if the baseline philosophy is slightly different, the ultimate goal is generally the same. And so you can find that commonality, especially in a world today where there's so much divisiveness.
Amen.
There I go, muting myself again. So Patrick, you guys have basically teamed up to create something. I mean, and folks, I'm going to tell you from experience, because I've been to a number of Bobby's events. And if you're looking for a tribe, you're looking for a community, it's amazing that I could drive 2 hours away, or actually at that time, it was about 2.5 hours away to where you were putting on these events. And every single time I would meet somebody that was 15, 20 minutes away from me. Mm-hmm. And so it offered an opportunity for me while I was there to build my own tribe and a coalition of the willing, if you will. And folks, I'm telling you from experience, these things are invaluable. So Patrick, you guys have been putting on this Midwestern Preparedness Project for, I don't know why I do this, just a tongue twister for me, but how is this different, and what can people expect if they go to this thing?
Yeah, so the Midwest Preparedness Project started off originally as just a bunch of dudes camping out, you know, that had an idea on a BBS board 10, 12, gosh, I guess it's been almost 14 years ago now, where they were just camping out, talking about their bug out bags, sharpening their knives. And eventually it evolved into us bringing in our families. And then at one point in time, we ended up kind of taking it over. But to back up a little bit, Spags is one of the best MCs I've ever met. Like when it comes to spinning something up and managing things and like all the microcosms that happen during an event or during a festival, there's none better than this dude. And so answering your original question and how did I kind of get involved, or we get involved in all of this, again, I think it goes back to like what Bobby alluded to. It's that innate desire for humans to seek out others, again, on the same mission as them. And in doing so, we kind of did the same thing. We hooked up with Tag and those guys, oh gosh, better part of 10 years ago. And for the longest time, Tag and I kind of ran the Midwest Preparedness Project. We did these campouts, and then for a while, it kind of changed hands for a minute. We just kind of let it flounder and let whoever wanted to run the camp out, run the camp out. And what we noticed was, is that like in all things, Billy, ultimate power corrupts ultimately. And like with, you know, there's a big, large preparedness movement in the Kansas City area. When the wrong people get in charge of management or in kind of driving the bus, they can be poisonous and toxic to the movement. And in fact, be the exact opposite of what you set out to do. So at some point in time over the last decade or so, Spags and I realized that that was a potential here with what was going on with the Preparedness Project. And we decided to kind of insert ourselves in sort of like a, I don't want to call it a leadership role, but maybe a guiding structure. But I think it harkens me back to a story about a dude named Gideon, and that he did not want to be in charge. But he was kind of forced to do so. But in doing so, I mean, he did what he had to do. He went on about his life and dude, you know, retired to his farm. That's what we want to do. That's what Spags and I want to do. That's what Kyle wants to do.
Yes. Yeah. There's a natural inclination, I think, of governments and people in general to corrupt and to take over. And so we're intentionally taking that back. We're intentionally taking back what community is and should be. And offering some guidance to it. And I think personally, that's what sets MPP apart for me. It's something that I, you know, that's why I started joining these campouts, I guess 4 or 5 years ago at this point. And it's been just more and more, I want to get involved, want to do what I can. But I love MPP specifically because while a lot of shows are packed with instruction, this one in particular is, we have enough instruction, but also we leave a lot of time for community and for people to find each other. And for, you know, you never know if a guy down is 20 minutes down the road shows up and you've never met him before. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of event where you can sit around a campfire, get to know each other, and break bread and just learn who each other is. It's pretty powerful.
That's one of the beautiful things I loved about it, is that there would even be some of the campouts where, and you would obviously have that option here, where you can go out there with what's on your back. And there were times where that was kind of the rule. Hey, mm-hmm. Next 3 days, you're not going anywhere. You live out of what's on your back. Mm-hmm. And it's in those situations where you find out, okay, am I more polished than spit and more glitter than grit? And you find out which side of that spectrum you're on.
And, bingo.
Yeah, that's well said.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's where, because there are so many people out there that have these bug out bags that somebody else packed for them. They get out there, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, why do I have a – I seen a dude once, honestly, had a flipping bear trap in his bug out bag. A bear trap. Bobby, if I said his name, I guarantee you'd know who it is. I'll have to talk to you about that online.
Probably.
Had a bear trap in his bug out bag. And I'm like, okay, dude, you're carrying around 7-8 pounds of something that you probably ain't going to come across in Kansas, okay?
Right.
Yeah, so
I want to hear the story about the bear trap, man, when this is over with. When we're off camera, I want to know who bear trap is. Because yeah. When he comes to the camp, I'm going to be like, yo, what's up, bear trap? Bear trap's in the house.
Bear trap. Yeah, it's kind of a fallen name to have, but as far as, okay, so you guys are, you know, one thing I really love and why I'm so excited to be able to get there one day is you guys don't, a lot of these things occur in an antiseptic environment. And what I mean by that is it'll be at a, like a structure that's already made, set, ready to rock and roll. People stand up there, they talk for a while, and then you kind of walk around, look at the tables and stuff. What I love about this one, especially, is that it's out there in the environment. You're almost forced, for all of you introverts out there, it kind of puts you in a position where you're forced to kind of interact with one another. And also, it's not one of those environments where it's in this antiseptic arena where you don't really get the full extent of it. Why don't you guys talk to me about how this thing is set up, when it's going to be, and where people can go and how they can sign up?
Well, yeah, go to MidwestPreparednessProject.com. That's our website. You can find our YouTube and our Discord. The Discord is the Real Midwest Preparedness Project. It's coming up. We are less than a week out. It starts May 7th, which is a Tuesday, and it runs until the 12th, which is that Sunday. The real events start on Thursday. We let people have Tuesday, Wednesday, and most of Thursday just to show up, to get their camp. You know, whether you're glamping in an RV or whether you're hammock camping or tent camping, we really don't care. Everyone just kind of meshes together in this big weird, almost looks like some post-apocalyptic movie where all this tent city is created and there's tarps and some netting and all this neat stuff. And what you're going to be able to find is starting on Thursday, we have events starting Thursday afternoon and they run all the way through Saturday night. And we try to keep schedule light so that, like Kyle was alluding to, you have time to actually sit around campfires and meet people and talk to people. So we only do 3 events or classes per day, with the exception of Saturday. We will have a special event with Lindsay coming from Canada. The permaculture guru is going to be here. But we even then, it's only 4 events, only 4 classes / presentations throughout the day. 1 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon. Then we have dinner both days. Saturday, we're going to have a potluck. So everybody brings a dish and we communally eat together. Our religious coordinator will say a blessing over the meal. There is an element of that faith-based with what we do, although we're not a church, we're not religious per se, but we do have an element of that with us because we think that that's important. And then we have barter events on Friday and Saturday. Friday, we have what's called Grumpy Seed Exchange. And you know the cats from Grumpy Acres Farm. They started spearheading this seed exchange where people bring seeds, trees, plants, and the only 2 rules are nothing that's going to get anyone arrested and no money. Mm-hmm. And so people will just sit there and swap seeds and plants and trees back and forth. And then on Saturday, we have the event, which is the pinnacle event of the whole thing, which is called Barter Town. And it's the same kind of event, 2 rules, nothing that will get us arrested and no cash. And people just set out their tables with all their wares and people just haggle and kids are going up to the fire, making a s'more and then bringing it up and trying to trade it for someone's Mora knife. you know, and it's just a real education in free market capitalism on how things will work when the fiat currency crashes. So yeah, that's what we have. And we have a cook-off on Thursday with My Honey's Kitchen. We're going to have a couple of food vendors there, and it's just a time for
kids
events all week, starting on Thursday as well. Christy, our youth coordinator, puts on classes and events for the children. Saturday, she has a really cool one called Trash to Treasure, where I think you've got to start with trash and reform it into something useful.
There's prizes that are attached to all of these kids' classes and giveaways.
Yeah. She's going to be doing a giveaway on both Friday and Saturday night. We have an adult giveaway Friday and Saturday night. And that's really the only way that we fund this thing, because we don't charge admission. We don't charge people to camp. The project will foot the bill for everything. And the way we recoup that cost is guys like you. And hell, Billy from Perma Pastures has been sponsoring us for the last 3 years. And we give away some of his rice knives and some of his
bone sauce
and all that sort of stuff. And people buy opportunity tickets. And then at the end of each day, we do a drawing. Yep. And people can win these amazing things from all of our sponsors.
And yeah, our giveaways, they're not like old school going to the dentist. He pulls your tooth and you get to open the wooden, you know, the little cardboard box and pick out a sucker and a sticker. No. We are giving out like gold back, like $100 certificates. We're giving out $1,000, you know, solar generators. We're giving out, you know, $1,600 classes. We're
baseline bug out bag.
Oh yeah. Like
we're giving away an AR-15 and a semi-automatic shotgun.
Gold plus shotgun. I mean,
all kind of neat stuff.
I mean, our stuff, we're not playing around. Like, we're giving away like a full canning kitchen. Like, somebody's going to be able to walk away from this thing and full on either like feed somebody or
start their own, you know, food processing operation. Grumpy gave us a solar oven. So we're giving away a solar oven, all kinds of stuff.
Good night. So Kyle, your participation in this, I mean, I imagine you're part of the gang I guess it depends on how you're looking at this.
Yes.
You're part of this whole gang. I mean, what's your role in all of this?
So I'm part of the crew now. I'm one of us, I guess you could say. Right now, I'm the man in the chair with the technical stuff for the YouTube channel, but I'm also kind of the stage guy. I built the stage for several of the events that we've had over the last 2 years. I also make a product called Bullet Bomb.
Oh, yes, exited yourself, yeah. That's all right, though. You're still on with this one. You got to join the studio again.
Yeah, so I make a product that I call Bullet Bomb. It's a leather conditioner, and the QR code is behind me. But leather conditioner and beard balm and kind of skin stuff. So it's smelly good. It keeps the bugs off of you. It conditions your skin. And at the end of the day, if you need to, you can use it to waterproof your boots. So
it's all naturals made from your stuff at your farm.
Yep, made from products from sourced ingredients from my farm. So that, and you know, so I throw that in too. So we'll give some of that away in a bug out bag and some other things too. So there's, you know, just same as you, just contributing however we can to further the community. And make things better for everybody. It's not about advertising or about, you know, what we do. It's about what we're giving back in order to build the community so that we know who to go to for different things along the way.
Amen.
Yeah. So what's the ultimate goal in all this, Patrick? I mean, I know that sounds almost like a well, it is a rhetorical question because I suspect I know the answer, but I mean, there's got to be a mission statement for all of this. What you guys, when you put on an event, it takes a great deal out of you for anybody that's ever done something, even as a get together on a Saturday. You guys are going through a fair amount of mental anguish just to even put something on like this.
Why do
you do it when you're clearly not making any money out of this?
Oh, you know what? It is. And I hate to sound like this, and I really hope people don't take it this way that I'm going to present it, even though it's going to sound that way. It really is. It's a lot. I mean, Bobby and I, we stress ourselves out. Kyle now, you know, and some of the other staff, Christy, Todd, Michael, some of the other folks that now participate that aren't here in the studio with us, like all of us are volunteers. None of us are paid to do this. All of it, it's all a labor of love. And again, just like Bobby alluded to in the beginning of this, and Kyle as well, for when he entered into this journey, it's the mission is different for each and every one of us. I know for myself, I can't speak for Spags as to what he wants at the end of the day, or Kyle, what he wants at the end of the day. But for me, I hope to leave this place a little bit better than when I found it. I hope that at the end of the day that I know I'm not going to live forever, but maybe something I taught you, Billy, will, because you're going to go home and you're going to teach it to Michelle, or you're going to teach it to one of them cats at one of your other, you know, classes that you go to. And in that way, and in that sense, a part of me will live on forever. So in how we build this today, how we set this up now, it's like someone in the comments alluded to earlier. I think that we've really strayed away from our morals and our cultures and society, let alone as a people and a nation. And so part of what we do at the Midwest Preparedness Project is we bind ourselves in that faith, family, and fellowship in trying to drive that community back together, which is why, again, we do this in like a public setting, like at a camp out or a park or whatever. So again, you're not in this sterile environment where you're like bebop, boobop, buy this tourniquet, buy this ammo, go home, wash, rinse, repeat. No, we're building lasting relationships with people like Kyle that show up randomly one time. And now,
and like, they never leave.
And now he wants to be a part of it. It's not just Kyle. I was Kyle once upon a time. I was the dude that showed up and was like, with stars in my eyes, like, this is amazing. How do I contribute? How do I be a part of? And then how do I leave this better than when I found it?
Kyle, what made you keep? I mean, so you're the last guy to come in as far as the group we have here.
Yeah.
I mean, in your own way, what made you decide to keep coming back and obviously to donate a huge portion of your time to be able to do what you're doing right now?
Billy, I tell you, there's a legacy to it. Just like Patrick mentioned, there's a legacy to it. There's a, you know, you're worth it. You are worth it. Your listeners are worth it. The people who show up to these events are worth it, and they're hungry. And we want to make sure that information, that they're getting good information from good sources that are wholesome and not going to steer them the wrong way or just out to make a buck or capitalize on them and take advantage of them. Yep. We want solid community. But at the end of the day, there's a legacy to this. There's intentionality around that, right? So you want to impart wisdom, you want to be a blessing to somebody else, and you want the opportunity for them to be a blessing to you. I mean, you know, it's community done the right way.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. Man, so you're not charging anything to get in the door. You got all this other stuff going on. And I'll tell you, folks, one of the coolest things is, I don't know if it was last year or maybe the year before, where they had like this father-child kind of put a birdhouse together kind of thing.
Oh, and,
Yeah. In the spring, yeah.
The video from that was just absolutely intoxicating. It was just such a good feeling vibe to just watch that, because I don't remember ever seeing anything at this, any of the preparedness campouts that I'd ever been at before. So this thing has grown and metastasized in a really good way. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like this thing is growing. So have you seen the numbers grow to this thing? And is there a limit to how many people can come to this? How do they sign up? What are some of the other logistical concerns they might want to consider, Bobby?
Well, there is no limit. We are on Army Corps ground, so there are certain rules that we have to follow, i.e. we can't openly carry firearms. If you're going to conceal carry, you have to get a permit through the Corps. It's easy to do. We can
email Bobby. He can get you
hooked up. Yeah, I'll get you taken care of on all that. The campground right now is about seven times as the size of the last campground. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be able to host 400 to 500 people. When I first came in and Patrick had me give a class the very first time, there was maybe 100 people. And then from there, we started implementing some of the things that we've implemented. And last fall, we had 287 people. And this spring, we're already anticipating close to 400, maybe more. It's growing. For those in the audience, listen, it's not just people in Kansas and Missouri that come to this. We have had people from New York, New Mexico, Texas, Minnesota,
Canada,
the England.
We have had people from outside of the United States come to this thing. We're having another great gal from Canada, the permaculture guru, Lindsay, is going to be here. Yeah. These people come on their own dime, and we do our best to facilitate them. But yeah, there's a lot of the considerations are what you would have when you have large groups of people together. We're going to have to make sure people aren't blocking roadways. People aren't driving too fast up and down the road to the campground.
Barking dogs,
dogs pooping in the grass, all that sort of stuff. But no, for the most part, we're a come as you are. And hell, 2-3 shows ago, we had a guy just randomly saw the sign and he pulled into the event just to see what we were doing. And he ended up talking with Patrick and I. It turns out he was a guy with the Gideons. And he's like, do you care if I come back with the table and pass out Bibles? And we're like, yeah, go for it. You know, who are we to say no to that? And now he shows up to everyone and does the same thing every single time.
He's at Bartertown giving out Bibles, man.
The whole time, you know. And even if that's not your flavor, you should see the magic in the fact that people just find it organically and then they just attach themselves to it. The idea is to build a legacy because the West has gotten away from legacies. We've gone to this mentality of quick buck startup. What can I do to make
army of one?
Yeah. Army of one nonsense.
Oh my goodness.
And but no one does the legacy anymore. And the idea is for us to create something that people from around the country and around the world come to, which has really led to the next iteration of this. We've created a thing called the Great American Preparedness Tour. It's no longer just Midwest preparedness. Now we have Kentucky Sustainable Living and Self-Reliance Festival. And when you go to these events, each of us now have a token. It's a poker chip with our logo on it.
Cool.
And when you come to our events, you have to come up to one of the promoters. When you come to us, you got to ask Patrick and I, and we'll give you a poker chip. And Kentucky Sustainable Living, Self-Reliance Festival. And at the end of 2024, if you have gone to at least one of each of the three events on the tour and you collect all three tokens, you will get a special Christmas prize at the end of the year that we will mail for you.
Ooh, you will want this. It'll be limited edition. This will be a never coming back kind of thing. Trust me, you're going to want this.
Good night. Hey, we better cover this part because it's right there in the chat. It says, where is it being held? I can't believe I didn't think to ask that before. We know it's going to be in Kansas, but kind of give them specifics on this.
Yeah, so if you'll go to the link in our video, and we can repost it to yours in the comments, Billy, after this is over with, and on the Pimpcast as well. But it's being held currently at Bloomington West Campsite at Clinton Lake, just south of Lawrence, Kansas. It's a large campsite. It's a private secluded campsite on a peninsula. There's like a half mile long driveway leading up to it. Again, this thing has got a ballpark, baseball field, shower house, water. It's a nice facility, but it's at Clinton Lake, just outside of Lawrence, Kansas this year.
Yeah. And the cool thing is, I know this area very well. If you do go to this event and let's say it's not so far in the boonies, y'all, where you don't have accessibility to right. What is in Lawrence. So Lawrence,
30 minutes. It's
25 minutes from Lawrence, 30 minutes from Topeka. So yep. there's centers of population. Let's say you're somebody with health concerns and you don't want to lay on your back on the ground in a tent. Get a hotel and then just drive in every day. And there will be food there. There will be water there. There's plenty of things for your children to do. Bring the whole family, because we have to move past this nonsensical thing that creeped up in the early 2000s. And Billy, you saw this. It was a bunch of dudes sitting around with AR-15s and bug out bags. Now, look, we all know that men are important. We all know ARs are important. We all know the bug out bag is important. But so many of these events left out the kids and it left out the wives. And Billy, you and I used to laugh about this at the expo. You'd watch a family come in, and there was a husband and a wife, and the wife's pushing a baby stroller and has another child in her arm. And what did the guy do? Run straight to the gun dealer table, run straight to the ammo table, and drooling over the latest, coolest, whatever. And she would push that child around and carry that other baby, and she would go to the Berkey water table, and she would go to the essential oils table and to the organic seed table,
making a list.
And by the end of the expos, what did we see? He would walk up to her and be like, can I buy this new gun? And it's this much. And she would say, sure, as long as I can spend every bit as much as you spend on all this other stuff. And he'd say, sure. And the male and the female would go forth and they would fulfill their roles and they would do their parts. and the whole family was bettered by it. And that's what Midwest strives to do, is to have the women involved and the children involved and the men involved. Family units create strong societies. It's not just a guy thing. It's not just a Midwest thing. It should be an everybody thing.
You know, that's part of what kind of made me extract myself from certain communities, is that it was like a show and tell. A guy would get out there, show off his new weapon, and it ended up being a guy thing at a club more than it was a legit, because you would talk to some of these guys, a lot of them at the time, and it's gone 180 degrees. Now, folks, I will say, because I talked about this in my podcast last night, I just spent this last weekend learning how to brain tan hides. Myself and my friend Ben were the only guys in this class. It was all women. And I've been seeing this over and over and over again, where the guys have sort of acquiesced because maybe they're worried about the next ball score, and the women have really stepped up. Mm-hmm. What have y'all noticed? Maybe get a little piece from all of you guys, because what I've noticed in a lot of these classes as of late, last year I taught a knot class, which would be typically something guys would go to. The second day I taught this class, it was all women. Every time I turn around, it seems to be women overwhelmingly are stepping up, doing some extraordinary things. And these guys, I don't know where they are. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe you guys can address this, and maybe you have some way of, I don't know. Maybe you can, I know it's a little bit off topic as far as your event, but I just spoke about it last night, and maybe you guys want to address, or do you have opinions on any of that?
Go ahead, buddy. This is perfect.
Yeah, actually, it absolutely has everything to do with our event. This event, we have an almost exclusive female speaker lineup. We have we have three men who are going to be talking, plus Tag when he leads the Freedom Panel, but most of the instructors are women.
Yeah.
And we've had women presenters at the events multiple times. And again, it's about the duality of nature, the duality of man. God created us man and woman. He created us to be a team. And you're absolutely correct that in modern Western society, men have given up our birthright, and we have stepped back into
some of us.
Yeah, a good chunk. Maybe not the folks in the audience here, maybe not us, but a good chunk of the men in the United States and in Europe have stepped back. And we have been beaten into submission by a system that wants to kill us. And as a result, you no longer have strong patriarchal men leading their families. What you have is nothing. And so, yeah, women have had to step into that role because we have, as men, have failed as a collective in the West. And so part of what we strive to do is to reintroduce that concept of strong men and women creating strong families, and strong families creating a strong society, and strong societies creating strong countries. It all starts somewhere, and it has to, and so your point absolutely stands. There's a reason that we seek to bring in female speakers and male speakers, and not just all one or the other. We're not looking to be divisive. We're looking to be inclusive of everybody, because everybody has a role to play in this.
Yep.
Even the kids.
Even grandma and grandpa.
Kyle, would you want to add anything to that?
I think that we've allowed governments and others, I think, to define us as, define masculinity as toxic.
Right.
And it's a fallacy, it's wrong. There is something to be said for being a good, dangerous man. Mm. What I like about MPP is While we're out plowing or managing whatever we do with our manly strengths, our women can come to these classes and learn and be a part of the contributing to whatever end result, whatever means we need to accomplish together.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important that we do have the inclusive voice. Inclusion is not a diversity and inclusion kind of word. It really is important. It takes a whole family to be successful, I think. So what we're doing with this year specifically, with bringing more women into the conversation and leading some of those classes, I think is going to benefit everybody.
Yeah.
Patrick, have you observed this same phenomenon where men have just largely acquiesced from any sort of responsibility, and the women have just kind of stepped up, or and what solutions could you possibly offer? I mean, I know that's probably a loaded question, but I'd love to hear your take on it.
Hey, look, it's this simple, Billy. I'm not judging you if you call yourself Dylan Mulvaney, but you do you, boo. I mean, you show up to our camp out. We're not, I mean, we might look at you funny, but you're going to come up to, you're going to sit at the same table I am. You're going to have a meal at the same table I am. You're going to draw your drink from the same well I am. We are all in this together, and I don't care what color you paint yourself at the end of the day. Inclusivity is the name of what we try to instill at the core of our event. Because, again, I'm not trying to be inclusive to everybody. We're not trying to cater to the masses, so to speak. But at the same time, if you can be civil, if you can have a civil conversation, if you can act like a civil human being and attend these events, I don't care who you pray to. I don't care who you vote for. I don't care if you call yourself man, woman, or child. Just act like a decent, normal human being. Just participate. Be a part of the solution. Don't be a part of the problem. And I have. I have seen men acquiesce. I have seen men take a sidestep back into this more feminine role. But I think, again, it's like Spags and Kyle have already hit the nail on the head. This is just driven by society. It's driven by marketing. It's driven by advertisements and television. All of that women's lib stuff, that's great. What about men's lib? When can we make that cool again?
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm sure.
Don't be surprised if you get your hand shook by a man in a manly way.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people are really missing right now. And, you know, just to make it clear, for those out there that might be getting the wrong impression, look, if a guy who identifies as a trans testicle polar bear shows up at this and decides he's going to use the ladies' restroom, I'm pretty sure you guys aren't going to let that fly.
No. And that's what I mean. We're not trying to be inclusive to everybody in that regard. But if you want to sit at the table and have a logical conversation and act like you got some sense, then by all means, let's do that.
Yeah, but make sure you use the right facilities, guys.
That's correct. Yeah, we are very anti-groomer. So
yeah,
there will be a wood chipper on site.
Oh man, I knew this was going to be a hoot. Man, you guys are the best. As far as what could people expect? Now, this is another rhetorical question, but I got to ask it. So let's say it's because. What I have noticed is that there is a giant of the event that I went through 2 weeks ago that was local. I can't believe how many people showed up there by themselves. It was either and they're usually the more elderly type. And I guess I shouldn't be critical of that because I'm approaching that myself, but they come out there stagged. There'd be a guy that couldn't get anybody to go with him or a lady that couldn't get anybody to go with them. What are they going to feel welcome there? What would a weekend for them look like?
You can talk about Jimmy.
Oh,
Jimmy's a classic. Well, example of that. We won't say his last name.
Yeah. Well, Billy knows him too. I'm not really sure where we're going with him.
Just in terms of men showing up stag.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There are plenty of people. Okay. The families show up, the couples show up, but Jimmy, James, he comes to this thing every time, and he's a single.
Yeah, by himself. Yeah,
he's married, but he comes by himself, and he hangs out with everybody all the time. And there's plenty of fellowship there for you, regardless of whether you come by yourself or not. But what we have found is that there are people who might not have the means necessarily to travel or to do these things on their own, and you'll see them on the Facebook page or on Discord. Hey, is anybody in this area? Can we carpool?
Oh, yeah.
We can meet up beforehand so you realize I'm not a weirdo, right? All that sort of stuff happens. If you're by yourself, come on out. If you're in a family unit, come on out. Everyone is welcome.
You want to know a cool segue that's just reminded me of what Bobby just said there, reminded me of, this is a true story. I do work with the EMP Shield, just full disclosure. But again, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, the current version of EMP Shield, this multi-million dollar, megalith corporation that it's become, it started because of this camp out right here. Mm-hmm. About 7 years ago, a dude came to the camp out that was coming to Bobby's FSP group campouts in Subway or group lunches in Subway in Topeka. Just randomly comes to our camp out. One of the worst campouts we ever had. It's at Pomme de Terre in Lake of the Ozarks in the middle of Missouri. and it rained cats and dogs for like 3 days straight. We were in ankle deep, shin deep water, and our campsites were floating. Our tents were floating around. This dude shows up, this stag dude randomly shows up to our camp out, and he introduces us to the founder, the guy that invented EMP Shield. So he brings him the next time, Stag, and fast forward, here we are all these years later. But it's those individual dudes, those single dudes, or those individuals that are a part of a family structure that maybe the wife doesn't prep. Maybe the husband doesn't prep. Maybe they're not into it. Maybe they just kind of put up with you because they love you and whatever. But it's those people that show up that build these lasting relationships that form this council that's sitting at this table right now.
There's more to it even than that, too. I mean, like, I'm a good example. Like, I showed up scouting, right, for my family. Mm-hmm. And I basically went home and got my wife, brought her back. So, you know, we got examples like that. We've got kids that started coming as just by invitation by some of the families that come. And now they are independently part of the group themselves.
So grown adults.
Exactly.
Coming back
on their own, wanting to participate and be involved 100%.
So yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool for all of us out there that by and large feel like it's like a wonderful version of the Isle of Misfit Toys.
Yeah.
Very much so.
All of us by and large, and I'm even talking, you know, even where I live now, I'm basically an island in the middle of a place where everybody else around me in arm's reach of me aren't necessarily into this sort of thing. So when you're able to, you know, whenever you assemble a number of people like this, you have the advantage of their joint wisdom. And from an assembly like that, can you expect a perfect outcome every single time? No, not necessarily, but you will walk away edified. If nothing else, just from a conversation, you may figure out what not to do at your place.
Sure.
Which is what you're going to learn what to do. So as we kind of come to a close here, why don't we talk about some things that maybe we haven't brought up here, things that you might think are important here, and why don't we let all you guys run away with this?
Go ahead, boy.
The world will never get better if we sit alone with nobody else to communicate with and to fellowship with. We are meant to be a social creature, and the world has forced us into an introverted lifestyle where we sit in our houses, watch our TVs, get on the internet, watch our streaming services, put on our VR headsets, play our video games, whatever. And I've been a part of all of that at some stage of my life, and it's very comfortable and it's very easy. But as Jordan Peterson famously says, you will gain no true pleasure in life, no true happiness in life without the thrill of combat. You have to have contention. You have to have the ability to do the hard thing to achieve true happiness. So get off your butts, folks. Get out of your comfort zones and come to these festivals. Force yourself to meet people who think like you. Force yourself away from the comfortableness of the couch and the air conditioning. Force yourself into that combat of the mental combat of having to get out of your comfort zone and attend these festivals and meet folks like us and all the cast of characters. Meet these individuals. You will get to see all of us, and you will realize that we are every bit as much in real life the way we are here. Mm-hmm. We're real people, and we will take our time to talk to you and to help you and to point you in the right directions and even link you up with other people in your area.
Yeah, Patrick, what's one of the big takeaways that, you know, what are some of the things that you would like to point out here that we didn't necessarily cover? And if we have time, anybody in the chat, if you have any questions specifically about this event or even preparedness in general, do you guys have time to stick around for some of that?
Sure. Yeah. Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. We'd love to take any questions, field any of your comments, that your folks have come in. But some of the things that we didn't touch upon is, first and foremost, this is my parting wisdom and not necessarily the last thing I'll say today, but we all die. That's inevitable. You know, our expiration date's guaranteed. Life is a game that nobody makes it out of alive, right? We're all going to expire at some point in time. And the question you have to truly ask yourself at the end of the day is, have you really lived? Have you really made those connections that made your life worth living? Have you really went out and met the Gilgamesh and Enkidu types that gave you that first person perspective where you were doing that main character shit in life, where you were not participating as a spectator, you were participating as a main character. Get out there and meet us. Get out there, find your tribe. We consider ourselves kind of like a loose assortment of a tribe of broken men and a clan of broken tribes, so to speak. And in looking at it, like, I guess the one thing that we have not, oh, dang, somebody got a thumbs down on that one. Oh, Billy got a thumbs down. That was weird. You got us a thumbs down on your screen.
Oh, I don't know how that happened.
I don't know how that happened, but that was kind of cool. but one of the things I think we have not captured in today's, you must be on a Mac, huh?
Yeah.
Go like this. Hold it. Like, stay right there.
I'm
working.
Oh, go like this. Yeah, bring her. Yeah. All right, hang on.
Oh, no. Okay, I'm learning something here. For those that don't know or that are listening to the audio portion of this, we're basically having like emojis and crazy things popping up on the screen.
Go like this.
Whatever hand gestures I do, it seems to want to, yeah.
You got to hold still.
Oh, my goodness. So I'll put it this way, y'all.
Yeah.
Beautiful hearts. Okay, man, this is so doggone cool.
How 2024 of you?
Yeah.
Hey, so the one thing we didn't cover while you're giving us heart emojis is that there may or may not be a permaculture pimp attending one of these events in the future. Is that something we could talk about?
Yeah. Right now, we're up to our eyeballs in the spring, but you guys have another event coming down the way. And if we still manage to have a planet by then, which I think we will, you guys are going to have an event.
Yes, sir.
We are. We're going to have another one of these in the fall. And the goal is to have Billy attend that event.
Oh, did we say that out loud? Is that in the public sphere now?
That is in the public sphere. It's been said.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. Yeah, I'm going to do everything I possibly can. We have a changing world that's going crazy, and folks, this is like a party with a purpose. That's exactly what these events are. You go there, you have a great time, and then you talk about things that maybe in your own world you're not even able to breach these conversations. Cool. Certainly at work, and maybe not even with your own family. So even if it's just for a day, you have this community. And then guess what? You're probably going to exchange numbers with a lot of these folks. Yes. And then you at least, if you don't have this at home, whether it's all you ladies out there that write to me saying, look, I got a guy on the couch. He won't do anything. He'll go to he'll watch NASCAR, football, all these things, but I can't get him to come out here and help me in the garden. Look, you may find a person there where you can dump him for. No, I'm just kidding about that. You may find a person there, one of your friends, your new friends that you could at least commiserate with and say, hey, you know, how's it going with you? You know, make life a little bit easier, and maybe in time, leading by example, by them seeing this in your life, that maybe they'll listen to a couple of my podcasts and realize that they ought to be embarrassed, that they ought to step up. So let's hit a couple of these questions, guys. But before we do, once again, for the people that are just getting in here, they're wondering where and when and how much for this event. Let's hit that again.
All right. The event is free. We don't charge you to attend. We believe that the transference of knowledge should be free, at least as much as humanly possible. We also believe that the ability to network should be free. And so, yeah, we don't charge anything. It's going to be May 7th through the 12th at Bloomington Lake West at Clinton Lake, just in between Topeka and Lawrence, Kansas. So literally, it's right in the middle of the United States. You have no excuse not to attend this thing. You can drive from anywhere and get here very easily. And maybe, you know, if you're on the opposite sides of the mountains or in far Maine, it might be a little more. Mm-hmm. But we've had people from New York, Mexico, Canada, England have shown up to this event. Wisconsin, Texas, Virginia. People come from all over to this thing. And yeah, go to www.MidwestPreparednessProject.com. Go to Midwest Preparedness Project on Facebook. Go to The Real Midwest Preparedness Project on Discord, and you will find us. You can also find us on MeWe, YouTube, Rumble, all the ancillary extra social medias. We're on all of it. I'm on X with a Midwest account. You can find us all there. We try to be everywhere, so no matter what your personal flavor of BS is for social media, you can find us there. But most of the real activity takes place on Facebook and on Discord and on YouTube.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to get into some of the Q&A, and Love Cat, we're going to get to yours in a minute here. It's an important question, but right out of the gates, I guess this one is going to be more suited for me because I am, in fact, the permaculture pimp daddy.
You are.
Way to build soil, guys. Well, it depends, and that's the thing. That's the answer nobody ever wants to hear anywhere, but it all depends. So in your pastures where you have animals, do not overgraze. Do not leave your animals in one spot for too long. Move them often. And there's a bunch of different ways you can go about that, okay? And in your gardens, we've talked about it before, it's better if you do not till. Putting a carbonaceous diaper, as Joel Salatin calls it, down on the ground, that will help you there. Using things like compost that I'm showing you right now through YouTube, through a series, and the final part's going to come out today. Using things like compost, using your animals as tools, and letting them see, let the pig do the pigness of the pig, the chicken do the chickenness of the chicken, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Basically, good stewardship. And it's a more complicated question than I could answer in a couple of seconds, but I figure I'd go ahead and hit that one. So on to one of you guys. Kyle, why don't we have you hit this one here? Sounds amazing. I tend to be a cynic, though. And events can be infiltrated by glowies. I'm not sure what a glowy is. Is that something like a furry? Because I've never heard of that.
I'm not sure neither. That's a new one to me. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go, Billy. Billy loves the glowies, apparently. Billy says some glowy love.
Maybe it's the mohawk. I don't know.
Oh, maybe. Oh,
my goodness. Wow. So what do you have to say about that, Kyle?
You know, these come as you are is what I would say. Come as you are with an open mind and be ready to have an intelligent conversation. Bring your value, bring what you have to bring to the table, and just, you know, be open to conversation and seeking wisdom of others. I can't really say it any better than that. I tend to be a cynic as well. And like I said, when I first showed up to the very first one, it was I was by myself. I didn't know if this was just going to be a bunch of gun-toting guys that, you know, were flaunting their wares and their plate carriers and their AR-15s and nonsense like that, or tactical stuff, or if it was going to be, you know, a lot more wholesome than that or inviting. And fortunately, it has been the latter. So show up with an open mind and be ready to learn, but also bring your value.
Yeah.
Be ready to contribute to the conversation. It's, you know, you're important, but it's not just about what you can take away. It's about what you can give back.
That's it.
I can't wait to hear the response on this one. I'm going to throw this one to either Patrick or Bobby. It says, I used to go to Burning Man, and some of this verbiage is exactly the same.
So, right up your alley, Bobby.
Well, of course. I mean, at the end of the day, community is community, and different communities, while they might form for different reasons, are essentially the same thing. It's groups of people getting together for a common purpose. Mm-hmm. So I also believe that she clarified that glowies mean feds. I'll address that one. I don't care if the feds show up. I don't live my life in fear of a bunch of GSA rated salary cap people who are bean counters and pencil. Look, I worked for the United States House of Representatives for 8 years. I was in the Army for 16 years. I was a contractor for 3 and a mercenary for 3. I have worked very closely with feds most of my adult life. And what that has taught me is I do not fear the federal government. I don't fear a bunch of suits. I don't. And you know what? If they show up, maybe they'll learn something too. And maybe they will learn that we're normal people living normal lives. We just like to grow our own food and raise our own animals and collect our own eggs. And we have some guns and we have some silver and maybe some essential oils and some other stuff, you know? That used to be Thursday in the United States. You know, that used to be Wednesday. So I don't personally give a shit if the feds show up. Welcome. We're on Army Corps of Engineer ground. Come on over. Permit. Yeah. Come on over and realize how cool we are.
Yeah. You know? Love Cat, we're in fact, we're positive. We're certain. And this is Lucy, by the way. We are certain that there are feds in the crowd. In fact, we know there are. We know that there are people that come to the event. They work for the federal government. We have friends that work for the federal government. Now, I don't know to what extent or what level or how often they like to waterboard people. That's between them and their God. But they will be there. They will show up. We know that there are plainclothes officers. We know that there are plainclothes detectives. We know that there are dudes that are packing guns that shouldn't be. We know that there, all of it's there. Like if you expect it, it's going to be there. It's just with some moderation that we try to keep it in check.
Right. At the end of the day, all of us as preppers, homesteaders, all that stuff, need to remember we're not nearly as important as we think we are. And we should really stop this weird fantasy that the 1% or 2% of the population that works for the federal government are watching you specifically. There's not enough of them to go around to do that. There's no real fear that I have of them. In fact, if they show up, great. That's one more person maybe we can affect for the better.
Mm-hmm. And no, they're going to show up, and if they're the ones looking for infractions, they're going to be pointed out like a parking meter or a parking cop. So,
you know. Kyle, you just hit the nail on the head. Every single time there was at least some COINTELPRO or any kind of Fed, yeah, whether it was, you know, when I was trying to get some of those fertile minds during the whole sit-in that all of these people that were doing years ago, they were doing it at the Liberty Memorial and stuff downtown. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Occupy Wall Street is what it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always tell the feds, number one, they weren't dressed like everybody else. They didn't smell like a lot of people. And number two, it'll be the guy that comes out of nowhere and says, hey, who's got the weed around here? Or, hey, it'll be
right. Right. I mean, yeah, there's some tells, man. If you see a guy in khaki shorts and a polo shirt with aviator glasses and a New York Yankees ball cap, probably just to avoid that person.
Okay. Show up and we'll convert him. We'll evangelize him and convert him just like Bobby.
So, yeah.
This is a true story. Bobby is an agorist. You know, he's a self-proclaimed agorist.
Yep.
And I love and support that. But there are people that come to this event, plain clothed dudes that show up to this event, and sure as shit, they will come in. We live in Kansas. We're on the Kansas side. Yep. And in the state of Kansas, our Kansas law suggests that we cannot form standing militia.
Correct. Kansas is part of the Council of Governors formed under President Ronald Reagan. For all of you guys who are still worshiping that man, you probably shouldn't if you knew any better. But he formed the Council of Governors, and part of that meant that the states who were members of the Council of Governors are not, they have strict anti-militia laws. Mm-hmm. So in Kansas, we're one of those states, and you are not allowed to form any kind of paramilitary group that is not directly under the control of the governor.
So three campouts ago, Bobby and I were working together. We're spearheading this thing. No joke. Sure enough, we got a couple hundred people out here camping out. There's a couple hundred people after 3 or 4 or 5 days. They all smell the same. They all look the same. They all dress the same. Like, well, after 5 days, you can't tell who stinks and who doesn't. We all stink. But after 5 days, sure enough, this guy shows up and he's sitting at the campfire and he goes, I want to start talking about militias. Like, where are the militias at? Let's talk about militias.
Yeah.
Like, where's my militia people at? And we're all like, oh, here we go.
All right. They always stick out like a sore thumb every single time. I remember when they were doing the Occupy Wall Street thing at the time, what I saw it as an opportunity as a fellow agorist, I'm also thinking, okay, well, these are fertile minds. And I went down there and I talked to these kids. What I found out was they were rudderless. They had no idea what they believed. So I'm like, okay, well, here's a great opportunity for me to come in here and say, well, why are you worshiping the government? And then by the time it was all said and done, I was making really good progress, but then all of a sudden they would have a march and there was something that happened. There was a march. And then that's when all of the, either the local police officers or whatever, those were the ones coming in that were masked. And whenever violence would break out, and it was very minor, like somebody kicking the storefront or whatever, it was always done by these masked people. Somebody put down the mask on one of them and somebody says, hey, I recognize that cop from the plaza. And then he and the other three took off. So basically, look, folks, if you're worried about something like that at an event like this, you are dealing with the consummate pros who are probably going to notice those people before they ever even show up. If anybody goes in and openly talks about violence, and check this out, if you're worried about COINTELPRO, I got news for you. They're sitting, if you are at a liberty-minded church, they're in there. Yep. No matter where you are, there's somebody in there. If it's not them, it's some other person that's basically that's brainwashed enough to think that, you know, that they need to be the tattletale or whatever the case may be.
Oh, yeah.
If that's your concern, y'all, get rid of these little. If you're so concerned about that sort of thing, first start with this.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Under the Telecommunications Act of 1996, they're listening to everything you say and do through these things. But like Bobby said, at the end of the day, you know, if you want to waste your time fooling around with me, I'm just trying to live. I'm living a life as free as I possibly can.
That is true.
Uh-oh, Patrick, I see him reaching for something.
Look, man, greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. I fear no government. I fear no Fed. They bleed the same as me. They pee the same as me. And they put their pants on one leg at a time. There's nothing about them that's scary. They're everywhere. If you honestly think they're everywhere, then why are you even on YouTube? What are you watching this show for and allowing your IP to be collected and the data collected?
Right.
You're never going to get away from it. You know,
the algorithm has
all government is Antichrist. And so the Antichrist government is going to use whatever it can to follow you. Yeah. Expect it and live your life as freely as you can.
Precisely. Yeah. Now, there are certain conversations that I don't have around my phone or whatever, or certain engagements that you may, and you know, okay, so it's a husband and wife and it's getting dark. Okay, so maybe you don't have the phone in the room. Unless you're a freak like that, ain't no telling what Bobby's doing. But
I said he was an agorist. Where are you? Whoa.
To my personal FBI agent, what you're about to hear is for your benefit.
Hey, I got to bring this question on right here because they had an event down in Anarchapoco that I really wanted to go to.
Yeah, Anarchapalooza.
Yes.
Yeah.
Will you invite people to talk like Jeff Berwick and Max Egan?
We invite a lot of people, and as long as the person that we are talking to adds value to the conversation within the realm of what we're doing, we absolutely would. If I could get Ron Paul to this thing, oh my God, I would absolutely get Ron Paul to this thing. If I could get
let me get Alex Jones.
Oh, I cut my teeth on some AJ early in my day. I don't hate the man. I kind of like the guy.
Could you imagine a 30-minute segment of Billy and Alex going at it, talking about Bigfoot and aliens and gay frogs?
Oh man, it'd be awesome. I mean, hell, Billy, you just had the combat midwife on your show. She's going to be at our event.
Oh, yeah.
She's going to be speaking in the fall. You know, that's the kind of people we bring in.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm so glad you brought her up because so many people were asking about her, and she gave so many people out there. Once again, another lady knocking it out of the park. So all of you ladies that feel marginalized or you don't feel like you have a tribe or this is a guy's only thing, the way it's always been in the past with a lot of these things, it's a new world. And it's not that these guys or in gals have become woke. It's just recognizing that it takes, just like Kyle said a bit ago, it takes everybody to do all this stuff. So, look, guys, it's been such a joy. One more time for the people that are just getting in right now, tell them one more time where and when for this thing and how much it costs.
So, again, thank you very much, Billy. First and foremost, we greatly appreciate your time today. You are the man. Yes, look at that. You're the man. We're grateful that you could share your audience with us and that you could share your time with us. So first and foremost, to my buddy Kyle in the house, our man in the chair, Bullet Bomb, my buddy Spags here, right seat, left seat, Patrick Henry, myself. We are a Midwest Preparedness Project. You can find us at www.midwestpreparednessproject.com, the real Midwest Preparedness Project on Discord, or Midwest Preparedness Project on Facebook. We are at Bloomington West, May 7th through May 12th. Clinton Lake, come see us, guys. Midwest Preparedness Project Spring Festival. We are out here building legacies, tribes, and mutual assistance groups that will outlast you. Come be a part of that.
And if you can't make the spring, September 3rd through September 8th is our fall event.
Yep.
Worth it. Be there.
Yeah, folks.
That's the one Billy's going to be at.
That's the one the Permacaster Pimp's going to be at.
I'm gonna try, but I may have a conflict with the timing on some of that. And I'll get with you guys about that here in a little while. But hey, folks, I want to thank everybody in the chat. I want to thank you all for coming in. I want to thank my guests here because I knew whenever, you know, I've had a really good time hanging out with Patrick and Bobby at one of the last events we did. We went out to eat. It was a hoot. It's always a joy to hang out with these folks. Can't wait to get to know Kyle, but I'm telling you what, y'all, you go to any event there and you are going to be glad you did. And I got to tell you, on behalf of all my guests, I want to tell you until next time, stay alert, Stay alive.
You sitting at Manicotti, yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they wanna build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. Like a kamikaze, got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They wanna push me to the center like a cell, they wanna spill me, but the center of the nexus, me.